Hello, this is a two-part recap. Please enjoy part one.
Hello, and welcome to Watch or Crappins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the hilarious and beautiful and very sexy Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
It's me, regular sex pod over here. How's it going with you, Benny?
So good, because we're here to talk about the Miami premiere. Miami is so good. It is arguably, I would say, the best produced Real Housewives on the air. It looks so good. It just everything, the music, the look, the sound, the vibe, the editing, they just like smash it.
I mean, just the faces on here. Every year it's like, you know, some shows you'll get a new theme song every year, or some shows you'll get like a new set piece or something new every year. This show, the faces, just the new faces on display every single time. So well done. I don't know that I would say well done, but just so beautifully, entertainingly done.
Yeah, they kill it with this show. Oh, it's so good. It was so exciting to have it back between Miami and Salt Lake City. It's just like we are so hashtag blessed right now to have this stuff on TV. So, yeah, we're talking Miami. Before we dive into that, come join us on Patreon, patreon.com/watchforcrappins, and you can watch this episode, not just listen to it, by listening to Crappins on Demand or watching Crappins on Demand, signing up on that level. We have access to our bonus episode. And yeah, follow us on social media. Thanks to everyone earlier this week who came out for Crappy Hour. That's every other Monday. So be sure to follow us at Watch for Crappins on Instagram, so that way you can participate in Crappy Hour next time. I don't know. I don't think there's anything else to talk about. Let's just like dive into Miami, shall we?
Let's do it. I've missed this show. I forget how many crazy things happen on this show. Every time they showed a clip of like, this is why I'm mad at you from last year, I was like, God, this show is so ridiculous.
It's so good.
Like, I get so into it and so upset, and the fights are just ridiculous, and I fucking love it. And just all the voices and all the accents. Mm. To anybody who's here for the first time, hi, I'm Ronnie, Ben, and we are terrible at these accents. We know it. We know that it could possibly verge on being offensive, but we're not really going for that. We're really trying to sound like them and make stupid caricatures, but we know that we often fail at that, and we apologize in advance.
Yeah, we're actually trying to sound like specific people. We're not trying to sound like, this is what everyone sounds like. This is like everyone from this group sounds like. We're actually just trying to sound like that person, so we're going to try not to fail, but we probably will.
That's just how we roll. Yeah. Badly, poorly. Okay, poorly. We roll bad poorly accents. On. We just roll poorly on with these bad accents. And yeah, it also takes us a few episodes to kind of get back in the swing of them and the characters and stuff like that. Okay, so that's enough of that. I just wanted to pre-apologize because I really hate apologizing and I don't want to apologize next week. So there's your pre-apology. If you get super offended, just go replay that for yourself every morning. Okay? Yeah. I'm sorry. There, you have it. I'm sorry.
Also, but you know what? Reverse, I'm sorry for this show. What is the opposite of I'm sorry? I'm not sorry. This has nothing. Bad segue. What I'm trying to say is also congratulations to the show for making the transition from Peacock back to Big Daddy Bravo. This is huge. I mean, I know that Below Deck Down Under did it first, but really, it really speaks to the journey that Miami has been on since its third season. It came back many years later on Peacock, where it found a new audience and new eyeballs and finally received the respect that it had deserved all those years ago. And now here it is, coming back on Bravo as a varsity level S-tier Housewives. It's just so good. It is so, so good. And the fact that Bravo gives it to us the same night as Beverly Hills is actually kind of hilarious, because talk about two totally different franchises. Like Beverly Hills, where it's like, I just feel like, I don't know, like I'm just like upset. And on Miami, where they just go at it, they say exactly what's on their mind instead of just like doing the Kyle Richards thing. It's just...
Yeah, on Beverly Hills, Dorit's like, we're going to go see a spiritual healer, you know, doing all that stuff. Whereas on this show, one of the characters is a bruja. So,
yeah, remember last season when they went to like a spiritual
Marisol
healer?
Is like, we'll put a fucking black cloud over your head. She'll like have a spell to, you know, do terrible things to you. And the other show's like, oh, talking stick.
Yeah, on Beverly Hills, it's like, oh, we brought in a healer and now we're going to have a group hug. On this show, it's like, we brought in a healer and Adriana, someone fell on Adriana's foot and now she needs to be in a wheelchair and now she's equated her bruise to the life-altering injury of Frankie. Like, it's just like so different, you know?
Yeah, so we see New York, 1/26/23. Welcome to the season 5 reunion of Real Housewives of Miami. Dong. And Lisa going, you said, I mean, listen, I was just saying something about it because you kept saying, I'm a star. And Alexi going, yes, because if you believe that, you would not have let Lenny do all of these things to you. It's like, oh my God, oh, the cringe. Even now, so even out of context, I cringe all over it. Telling somebody who just got dumped for some younger model, like, yeah, believe in yourself and you won't get cheated on.
Yeah, if you just stood up for yourself more. And then Adriana saying, I never wanted to do anything with your ex-boyfriend. I regret it. And Alexia saying, that's what you resent, that I have like so much love in my life and she wants everything that I have. Oh, well, you know, Peter.
So then we cut to Alexia talking to us and she's like, after New York, I really wasn't happy with a lot of the things that I said. And I've looked back and I didn't like a lot of the things I saw when I look back. Look, I'm going to look back. Oh, that's my couch. That's actually my couch. It's very nice. So maybe if there was something ugly behind me, I could say I don't like it, but it's my couch and I like it. It's very nice. So I look behind me and I see a very tasteful couch. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Alexia is wearing kind of like a claque look. It's like not a full Clark Kent, but it's like a half Clark Kent. So it's claque. And because she's like a blazer, like on one half is like a blazer and the other half is like a blazer that's being kind of torn off of her and not quite there. It's like half of her body is transitioning to Superman, but the other half is like, oh, but you know, I still have to do my report. I have to go back to the newsroom.
I feel like she's, you know, she's a part of a couple and they're both waiting at the subway together. And she's like, oh my God, we got to stop talking. My subway's here. Bye. Have a good day. And then she's leaving. And then Todd's like, hey, wait a minute. You forgot your phone. And he's trying to grab her jacket and like pulls it off like her shoulder. And that's.
She's both the person on the train going off to a new city and the person running after the train being like, wait, Clock no, hair. I love you.
Clock hair. Stop. Claque.
Oh, well, this is claque. I'm wearing a new designer called claque.
Oh, my God. What are you having for lunch? Just please don't feed me any kryptonite. Kryptonite? No. Don't finish
I'm going
word,
to my
please.
Four of solitude.
So she is doing this thing where the audience really turned because Alexia was in a place where when the show came back after hiatus, Alexia was the biggest hero of the show. Mostly because she's hilarious and gorgeous and has all that and really charismatic and has all that stuff going for her. But also she had the Housewives. Everything bad was happening. You know,
everything.
She had the telenovela. Like she had 10 dramas going at once. She had a new man. Her son was suffering from the brain injury stuff. She had her ex-husband died. Then she kind of outed him on the show posthumously.
Her ex is like a drug kingpin. Like everything, it's like everything happened to Alexia. So it was like very like, oh my God, Alexia. But then last season, people really started to turn on Alexia. They didn't like her. They felt like
she was an asshole.
She was an asshole.
It's not like everybody was just being fickle. She was a total asshole and really came in and overplayed her hand, I think. She got a little arrogant.
I still deeply enjoyed her, but she was an asshole. So now she has taken the notes. Good for her. Because now she's coming in as like, oh, well, you know, I saw a lot of things I didn't like. And so I'm like going to, you know, I'm going to change. I'm going to look at the sofa behind me. And
yeah, it's a new version of me. Okay?
Yeah.
It's a new version. It's Alexia 3-point claque.
3-point claque.
I don't need you to change. And you're not one of the people on Bravo that I think, oh, my God, I hope Alexia changes. No, please don't change. This is Bravo. Don't change.
Well, what I'd like is she should not change, but I like that she's like, okay, I'm not going to stagnate either. I hear what the audience is saying. I'm going to make a little pivot. So this will be like my pivot season. So that way people like me again, but I'm not going to change.
Well, here's
sense.
The other thing. This is Bravo and you can't change. You know what I mean? So maybe it is good she's saying she's going to change because it never actually leads to change because you're a human, and you're a human on Bravo. And humans generally don't change. Listen, I've been trying to change for years. Have I changed a little? Maybe. I'm balder. I'm older. Otherwise, no, not really. I'm still the same bitch, okay? I same maybe bitch. Learned how to phrase things a little differently, but I'm the same bitch as before. I'm an S-B-A-B, same bitch as before.
Okay. Well, you know what they say. You know who's like that? Lex Luthor. So, always the same bitch. So, Alexia is like, she's like, you know, I feel like a lot of these girls, including myself, are like not in a good place right now. And like, I know I can bring them together. Like, if any of us can do it, it's me. I'm like, literally, they're the last person to do it, actually.
We've seen all of last season. I literally was born a star. So, if anybody can do it, it's me.
Stars bring people together. So,
that's what stars do. So Lara, so we see her doing party prep at her house, and Larsa comes and Julia comes, and Julia's like, chop, 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 chop. And Alexia says, oh, you brought your eggs. And she's like, of course I did. Eggs, chicken, good, good.
Now, by the way, speaking of Fortress of Solitude, that is what Alexia's house is reading as. It is so cavernous and echoey in there. I'm actually surprised that Superman is not just like hanging out in the corner thinking about things. It is a Fortress of Solitude.
I'm not convinced that that's even her apartment. I still believe that this is the party room of an apartment building. You know?
It's the community room.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it'd be great to start that controversy because last season started off with apartment controversy, which was good. So, people arrive. Lisa and her boyfriend, Jody, come in. And then Gertie and Nicole. People are just all entering in. Alexia's like, oh, well, you know, like, this is the moment, like, for everybody to all come together and, like, put our differences aside and our strange blazers and, like, restart and figure it all out. Because, like, I know in the end, we all secretly love each other and outwardly hate each other.
But do we? Because later...
You are the problem in this group. Devious, devious woman!
We see Julia yelling at somebody. And then we see somebody say... Oh, Nicole saying, I thought we were... Oh, no. Nicole's man, Anthony. I just wrote, I Cole's man. So that's why I was having trouble reading that now. But Anthony said, I thought we were going to have a great night. 1 week earlier.
So Alexia and Todd are walking along on the beach and bikinis. Crotches. So Alexia's like, oh, well, you know, we got our walk in earlier. And Todd's like,
yeah, you know, I want to take advantage of having a beach in our backyard. We really should do that, Alexia, huh?
Oh, you know what? You know, I don't make the time to come down here and look at the ocean. You know why? Because there's sand. I don't like it. You know what? Get rid of the sand. Maybe it'll come. But I'm changing now, so I'm doing it now.
She goes, I'm always on the go. I'm like, where are you going?
What do you do?
What do you do? Where are you going aside from
somebody
a trip to
lunches.
Thailand?
Go to somebody
always on
lunches.
The go. Always on the go. So it's like, well, it's time to slow down a little bit. You know, we're in the next phase of not doing anything. We were not doing anything last season. Now we're more not doing anything, but a different kind of not doing anything.
Listen. I have a manicure place that I don't do things in. So don't tell me that.
Okay? Always on the go. Like a Charmin commercial.
I'm going to go to my manicure shop. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go.
You know what? I'm like someone who is like always gets like double sixes in Monopoly just going around that board because I'm always like on the go. Collecting $200.
Go. You know what I do pass? Go. When I play Monopoly? No, Monopoly.
Monopoly. I'm Glacke. Playing.
Glacke playing Monopoly.
So she says, so Todd, and I have been together for almost like 7 years. And like it doesn't feel like I'm like a newlywed. We're just like working on being together and like being stronger and like being on the go. But it's been like a growing process because we're always on the grow. And like that doesn't happen overnight. So like what we do is like we're super in love and we're super into each other. And we want to grow old together and walk on the beach once every 3 years.
And you know what Todd did? He apologized to Anthony on the internet. And we see Todd's like an Instagram or video or something of Todd. He's like, all right. First of all, I would like to apologize to a man named Anthony. Sometimes as adults, we do things that are wrong. And it's very important to acknowledge when we've done said wrong things. Being the man who I am,
from Staten Island as I came, from whence I did. I have to say,
it's like 30 minutes later.
Sometimes emotions get the best of you. And when they get the best of you, they get the worst of you at the same time. Because that's what we are as humans. Next page. Humans are complex people, and we have difficult things and emotions. And we think about it. And when I was in Staten Island, when I would take the Verrazano Bridge over to Manhattan, I would think, is this the best of me going over the bridge? And was the bridge going over the best of the water? And is the water bad? Next page. And that makes me realize that sometimes people, as are you listening? Sometimes people make mistakes, like living in Staten Island, for instance. What a mistake. Never should have lived there. I wish I had told my mother, don't have me born there. Next page. Just kidding. That was a joke.
I should have known. My family should have known when they arrived from New York City and were taking the ferry over to Staten Island and the Statue of Liberty literally turned their back on him. They should have known this is not the place to live. However, whenceforth, this is from whence I cameth.
And another thing. Sometimes as adults, we don't realize we have a beach in our backyard that we never go out onto, and we spend all our time in cavernous, empty, echoey, white, shiny living rooms, and there's a beach out there. So I encourage you, Anthony, and anyone listening, make sure you walk on your beach.
And he tells us, he tells in this video, it's like 9 minutes later, and he goes,
TV got the ugly out of me, and I'm really sorry.
Oh, it's TV that did it, huh? So Alexia says, you know, I was not aware that Todd was going to do this on social media, and I didn't like that he didn't tell me because I would have been like, babe, don't do it. I mean, not because I didn't want him to apologize, but maybe not on social media. And so then we cut to Nicole, and she's like, she's wearing a heart cutout top with like these straps that look like Christmas ornament bead thing. I don't know how this thing is comfortable. It looks like the most uncomfortable thing I've ever seen. And this is Bravo. I mean, this is Miami. They wear notoriously uncomfortable things on this clothes on this show. But this looks really bad. It looks like painful.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know, it was nice of Todd to apologize to Anthony. I think he owned it, and like it is what it is. And I don't think he needed to make a social media video about it, but like he could have just like called Anthony.
And one more thing.
I was like, oh my God, he's still going. So then he goes on for another few minutes, and then it cuts to Larsa, and she's like,
I don't think I've ever given. Like, seen anybody give, like, a 9-minute apology before? And, like, I've never done it even. And I've, like, done some pretty shitty things.
Yeah. And it just shows, like, Todd, minute 7, minute 8, minute 9. And Lisa's like, it was just, like, a lot of talking. And Todd's like,
and I'm not going to talk about that video anymore. That ship has sailed, Alexia. I did the video, and I learned things, and I did things.
So then we find out Alexia's theme for the day. She's like, I'm having a party. I'm going to have the girls over. And the theme is Nueve Horizontes, which is new horizons. It's like, forget about the past, bro. And like, focus on living in the moment and like having an amazing future together. Because like in the moment of the future, it's like not the past anymore. It's like the moment of now, but it's not like the now from yesterday. It's like the now of tomorrow. But like tomorrow is going to be today, you know?
Alexia, why are you putting your face into the sand?
Oh, new horizons. Because normally the horizon's out there on the ocean, but now it's a new horizon, so it's in the sand.
Well, listen, if everyone's ready to move on, you'll see. You can't help it if people hold a grudge. What are you going to do, okay? It's your home. You lead the energy. You lead it, okay?
I promise to do that. And Ty goes,
you know, and let me know the time and the place. I'll show up. And by show up, I mean I'll not be there whatsoever.
You make me so peaceful, babe.
She's like, you make me so peaceful. I'm like, they're totally getting a divorce. Yeah. So then we see fancy shots.
I love, yes, Todd Nepola, the most peaceful making person of all time.
Hey, what's going on around here? You want to talk about it? You want to beat me up? I'll be sure 3 times more heavy and faster and harder, whatever. You're stupid law firm.
Just walking down the beach.
Hey, you know what? You, move your fucking towel back, okay? You look like an idiot out here with your fucking towel. And you know what you're going to get from me? Honesty. You know why? Because you're in my fucking backyard. Okay.
This beach is so sandy.
Hold on. I would like to apologize to the asshole I was just rude to on the beach. That's you.
Sometimes in life. people suntan, and I have to appreciate that. It's not my choice of leisure time, but for other people, it's a lot. So I apologize to the person who I kicked sand on while they were trying to relax. TV got the worst of me.
Consider it a facial, you fucking idiot.
P-A-S-S-I-O-N got me in a jam again. Sorry, everyone.
So, fancy shots of a yacht, and Larsa and Lisa are on a double date with new grody men. What can I say?
Marcus and Jody.
We don't really know much about Marcus, and Jody seems like he might be nice, but we finally see Jody talking on the show, and he's very like, hi.
And they're on this beautiful, very fancy, chic yacht, much chicker than anything that they ever give to below deck. I mean, below deck, the yachts they give to below deck, they all have like lapis lazuli and strange like Rococo flourishes. But this one was like a nice yacht, like that was like chic and had all these amazing things. I feel like Architectural Digest would go on there.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Larsa has apparently rented it for an hour so that way they can shoot a scene. And she's like, cheers, good night, guys. Like, brought you good weather and a nice boat and XYZ. And Lisa's like, yeah, this is real nice. This is a real yacht. And Larsa's like, yeah, next time you go on Nicole's boat, like, there's like a big difference. Like, yeah.
I'm looking at Marcus's IG.
She slept with all the doctors in the hospital to get her boat. That's what I heard. Like,
this boat is like a lot better than her boat because like it has like less sperm from like random doctors at the hospital that she like extracted.
That's just like what I heard. Like,
yeah, like I can't help it. I'm sorry you're a slut.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I didn't say sorry all the slut. Doctors. I said most of the doctors.
Yeah, Nicole's boat is called the SS Slut. It's called the Slut. What'd you find about Marcus? He's my friend, but we turned into lovers.
She's, of course, are taking selfies, right? Larsa's like,
yeah, I brought you guys nice weather, nice boat. Like, tell Nicole about it, because there's, like, a big difference.
And then Lisa's taking pictures. She's like, let me take pictures of you two kissing. Oh, my God, let's get it for the gram. Love, love, love. Marcus is like, wow, really love the commentary while you take our pictures. So he seems like he has a super sparkling personality, too. And, just like his dad. I looked up his Instagram. This is the thing. His Instagram is Air MJ. Wow, you're the heir to MJ, and that's literally your name on Instagram. Don't Air worry Jordan. About Marcus. Don't worry about Marcus going out there trying to make his own name. Okay, don't worry.
He's on the new season of The Traitors, right? I think he and Larsa are both on The Traitors. I could be wrong. So.
Oh my God, like, we're a traitor. Like, it wasn't me. Like, I wouldn't trade like, anybody.
I would not trade anyone.
I wouldn't be a traitor.
No, I have traits, but I'm not a traitor. So Larsa says, Marcus and I have been, like, dating, like, for, like, 10 months or so, like, and it was, like, a friendship that, like, involved into more, like, and it wasn't, like, oh, let's set the internet on fire. It's more, like, let's make everyone on the internet, like, care about us, like, and so, like, let's just, like, get together, like.
Yeah, like, we didn't do it because, like, we wanted to be famous on the internet. We're famous on the internet, and that's why the internet went, like, crazy over us. I mean, they're, like, going crazy over us.
People are like, what's the deal with you guys, like? And I'm like, I'm just, like, dating, like, my husband's coworker's son, like. That's all, like. So, and
you know, like, I was kind of hesitant, like, but I feel like the more time we spent together in Miami, like, I was like, this isn't just a guy. This is, like, I feel like my guy, like. It's my guy, like.
I was like, I was dating Scottie Pippen, like, but there was someone more famous on Scottie's team, like, and I realized I could just date that person's son, like. So
they're joking that Marcus knows the drill. He knows how to take the pictures for the gram, because he does, you know. And Lisa's like, wait, do you do like she likes it, where you get down on one knee and take it from under? And he's like, yeah, I'll get down on a knee. I'll hide behind a tree if I have to, whatever she wants. Mm-hmm. And Lars is like, yeah. And, like, I keep thinking he's proposing, but he's just, like, taking a picture. It's hilarious.
All I do is laugh, like, ha 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 ha.
I laugh like this. LOL.
Which, and we all know LOL stands for like, oh, like. So producer was like, so there's a lot of gossip, obviously, about like your relationship. Like, how does Marcus feel about it? And Lars like, I think Marcus like knew that like what he was like setting up for also like, and he like knew like being with me like won't be easy like, and like I don't focus on the haters. People are always like fucking mad like, and like I don't care like, I don't live my life like worrying like about other people and XYZ like.
Yeah, she's like, I don't really worry about what people think about my relationships. We're happy together. And Lisa's like, well, I'll tell you this much. I miss having a ring on my finger. And Jody's like,
She says that she kept her ring from Lenny. And he's like, yeah, it's cool. I just don't like it when she wears it. And she's
right.
She's like, yeah, I got like it resized for my middle finger so I can be like, take that, Lenny. Take that, Lenny.
This poor guy, Jody, the transitional boyfriend. All he does is listen to her bitch about Lenny and give her advice about Lenny. I feel kind of bad for Jody.
Lisa needs Heather DeBro to come in and so that way Heather DeBro can clasp her chin and say, okay, Lisa, I'm afraid the more you talk about Lenny, Jody does not need to hear that. I understand you're in a beautiful lesbian relationship now. Jody's a man. Okay, revising. Still, my advice stands.
What did I say?
Actually, that advice was kind of not terrible advice on that show, and it's really needed here because Lisa's really bad about it. Yeah. And so Lisa's like, it's been a year, and like Lenny and I still aren't even divorced. And then we see her telling the other ladies about what was going on. It's like, and Lenny, he's with a new woman in the house. And Lexi being like, call the police.
call 911. So Lisa's like, yeah, it's getting uglier by the day because I'm contesting the prenup, and like I guess people sign prenups, but a lot of things happened over 15 years. Like, should I have been smarter? Yeah. It's like, but haven't I been hurt enough? I haven't been embarrassed and humiliated in front of the world, huh?
And she's like, I just like the ring. Who cares? It's just a piece of jewelry. This says, yeah, I'm going to take the rest of this. Where this came from, you motherfucker.
Like, it's not just a ring. Stop talking about Lenny. My God. And by the way, I'm not saying she should totally be over Lenny. I'm just like, ah, you're really overdoing it in front of the new guy.
Yeah. So like, Jody, like, do you ever get like sick of like the whole Lenny conversation? Like, because like we all are kind of like, it's a little sick of it. Like, Jody's like, yeah, I mean, you know, like, what kind of guy would you be if you can't be supportive when your girl is going through something like that? Sorry. And Lisa's like, yeah, like, I've really been leaning on him. Maybe too much. Like, it is weird, I guess, when we have sex and I go, Lenny.
I mean, he's been going through a divorce, too, and he's from Canada. So there's that.
And he's like, yeah, I'm looking forward to a day where it's not really a conversation anymore. And
Sorry.
And Lisa's like, he's patient. I'm a lot. And Jody goes, you're a lot of good stuff.
Sorry, was that a little bit too mean for you, Lisa? Lisa's like, listen, I don't think I've had anyone look at me the way he does or love me. I tell him he's getting the worst of me right now. And I'm like, just you wait. If you like me now, you're going to love me when all this is all said and done. I mean, right now he treats me like a pack of Molson Ice. But I'm like, you just wait. I'm going to blossom into some poutine for you. Canada
stuff.
Just Canada shit. Sorry, it's a little bit inside joke for us.
So Lars is like, wow, you found this new guy who looks kind of dead from the lips up, I'm not gonna lie, but at least he's a guy. That's great. And he has a house, which is also great. What about you getting a house? Is it time that we can start going to like look for houses like? And Lisa's like, no, I want to stay in my house. It's like, oh, geez. Okay.
So then we go over to Anthony, and Anthony and Nicole are in a new house because they sold their last house for $97 trillion, which was pretty huge. Pretty huge Miami news.
Trillion. Yeah.
Trillion. And so now they have this new one, and Anthony's like, we can keep the kitchen. I got an idea of what to do. We can make this a stone. And Nicole's like, so is this the one where we could just like maybe like live and not have to try and sell?
Yeah, they want this to be their forever home. There's no such thing as a forever home on The Real Housewives. If the DeBros got rid of their house, that means no house is in a forever house. Sorry. So they got this new house. It's 6 bed, 6 bath. And it's like obviously so expensive. And Nicole says that they sold their old house. And she goes, So we've been like staying on Fisher Island, and like that's been our vacation home for the past couple of years. My vacation home? What? You guys lived around the block. What are you talking about? That'd be being like, well, I live in Hollywood, but my vacation home's in West Hollywood. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
It's so rich. It's so and you know, I still think it's fishy because, and now it's not for really sure. Fishy because they did sell that house for so much money. So I don't know, fake it till you make it. And I know he has a huge company too. What does he do? Like personal injury? He does something like that.
Something's fishy. Something's
but
fishy.
It just
that's
seems
next season.
Fishy, doesn't it?
It's we know. We sniff it out. I love Nicole. I don't think she's fishy. Anthony is just like a walking Pike's Place Market. Fishy. Fishy. I'm it's all over the place.
Yeah, he's a real stock yisser. He's fishy, guys. He's nothing makes sense. In every scene, he's bragging in some way about what he's got. Like every scene is about how much money he has or how much money he's spending. There's just something. I just don't buy it.
He is like B-roll footage from Below Deck Down Under. Fishy. Yeah. Lots of fish. Fish.
For sure. So, you know, they kind of talk about how amazing their house is. And the producers ask her about the merit when the actual wedding is going to be because she got proposed to. And she's like, well, you know, like we've got so much going on. Like we've got a new house and then it's just a lot. So, you know, wedding's not on my list anytime soon.
I love that she has the wealthy version of the Robin Dixon storyline. Like, when you're going to get married, Robbins is like, well, we need to get a new, a tankless water heater in our condo. So right now, wedding is off for the moment. But like with them, they're like, oh, sorry, we just bought like a $45 million house in a very exclusive part of the country. So we're just going to wait a little bit.
So Gertie comes over and she's like, oh my God, look at this. Like, what is this, a teardown? This is amazing. What an amazing place. Like, she's not even that impressed with the place. She's never even here because she's like, it's a teardown, whatever. Good to find.
I mean, this is situated on the corner lot, of course. So on the bay, of course. Like, you can tell. This is like major money, honey. It's like already pre-goodified, okay? So the house is 10,500 square feet, as per Anthony, and has a 15-car garage downstairs, which is wild. And Gertie's like, this is Miami. It's goodified. It's a Miami house right now. And they go outside and they're like, oh my God, look at this view. This is what sold me. Now I have to say, this is obviously luxury living. Fisher Island, I know that Fisher Island, Star Island, that's like, there's not a lot of room for houses. So those houses are so expensive. But I have to say, as far as what we could see on the screen, I thought the view was like, I would never say this is the view that sold me. It's just like a view across the water towards other houses. Am I right? Am I being...
Well, it's an acre on the water. That's nuts.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Enormous.
I'm just saying the view. I felt the view. I would like better evidence of there being a nice view because I was not totally sold on the view.
I just looked at the view of the house. You know what I mean? I didn't really look at the water because to me, it just looks very busy because it's a very popular, busy area. And so I just hear, whoa, and the yachts passing by of drunk people hanging off like in Grand Theft Auto, you know, because everyone on this show is kind of like an extra from Grand Theft Auto.
So my
just ridiculous cartoons, dropping money, acting like complete fucking insanity the whole time. So I just feel like you don't want a house open to the water there because it's just constant woos.
So here's my thing. I've only been to Miami once. That was back December of last year. And I loved it. Like, I could not believe how much I love Miami. I fell in love with the city. But I was only in South Beach, by the way, I should also say. But also, my experience in Miami was just bumper-to-bumper traffic. Like, cars did not move. Like, you were just sitting there. Now, apparently, because it was Art Basel time, that's contributed to it. But I'm like, enjoy your 15-car garage that no one can access because they're stuck in traffic all over South Beach. So, congrats.
Oh, yeah. Miami's an insane place. Beautiful, colorful city. They show it off really well in this show, for sure.
I feel good about myself. I feel like I've torn down their amazing house enough that I can live with myself.
And I'm like, well, I guess I can deal with this condo now.
Okay, now that I've found fault
in
their
$19 trillion home.
Now that I've found fault with their, like, very amazing view and their huge garage, I feel like I'm okay with my decisions in life.
Yeah, we can finish today.
Okay, we did it.
So, Nicole, they start gossiping about the other ladies and what's going on with Martina, which was breast cancer and throat cancer, right?
Yep.
Is that what she says?
Yeah.
So then Nicole's like, well, I talked to Larsa after New York because New York was, like, really bad. And then we see, yeah, because you, like, slept with every doctor. And you know who's a bitch? Anthony. He's a bitch. That's it. Anthony's a bitch like. And then we cut back and Nicole's like, we could both agree that, like, we said things that were not nice. So that was good.
Speaking of not nice, I've decided that I'm in a feud with Larsa. So then we see Larsa and Lisa back on the yacht, and Larsa's like, I'm, like, in a good place with Nicole, and, I want to move forward with her, but, I don't understand the Gertie thing, how is she talking, she's talking shit about me, and I've been, nothing but nice to her, Lisa's like, what happened to Gertie? I don't even know. She's like, well, let's do a flashback to page 6 podcast. And then we see our friend Danny Murphy. We love Danny. And he's interviewing Gertie on his podcast. And Danny asks, who is the fakest housewife of them all?
Well, if there's anything you know about me, is it fake?
Because, of course, he answers Larsa. And Larsa is answering this looking completely insane. Because it's Miami. So everyone's got 20 faces by the time we get to this season. But especially Larsa. I mean, really, Larsa looks nothing like even Larsa from last year. Who even is this? And she's like...
Well, do you think that name one thing about me just look even fake?
You can't even talk. You sound like you're controlled. You're talking through a straw.
You can't go near candles. Okay.
You've done nothing. You became famous. Well, after Pippin from the show, you became famous from being following around the Kardashians for how many years? And then now you're with Michael Jordan's son. Come on, Larsa.
Larsa is
fake. Me fake? I'm not even what? There's nothing. What about me is fake?
What about me is fake? She's literally 50% synthetic material.
You can't even walk past an open flame. You can't be outside in the summertime.
Oh my goodness! So,
what'd you say before I screamed over you as usual?
I think I said the same things. She is 50% synthetic material, which, by the way, go and enjoy it. But then she's like, I am the least fake person that you'd ever meet. I'm like,
Rayon is more natural than you.
Who's Rayon? So Lisa's like, you say exactly how you feel and that's it. And she goes, yeah, what have I done to her besides me supporting her, and me being there for her, and me showing up, to her charity event,
Okay. You know, congratulations on going to somebody's charity event that was filmed for television on a show that you were on. Also, didn't you start a huge fight at her charity event and kind of ruin the whole thing? Wasn't that the thing last year? Or was that a different charity event?
I can't, honestly, I cannot remember. So Nicole says, you haven't talked to Larsa since that text message? And Gertie goes, no, I don't have time for that. I have, so much other shit to do. I have bigger fish to freaking fry. I literally bought a grouper and I had to put it into a deep fryer somehow. I don't even know how to do it. And, I'm so defocused right now. I'm so defocused, I couldn't even focus on the right word for unfocused.
So then we find out that Gertie has been to the gyno and she got a call and they said that she needs to have a biopsy and that's, very worrisome. Also, because we know just from reading the goss what's going on. It's, poor Gertie.
It's a little you start to feel this oh no, something real is about to happen on the show. Yeah. So Gertie's I'm just she's worried. And Nicole's listen. Nicole comes in Dr. Nicole now, and she's the density of your breast can change. It could be fibroid adenoma or something like that. It could be anything. Don't think worst case scenario. And you just sort of get a pit in your stomach because you're oh God, this is so scary for her. So then we go to some parrots in a cage, and we see Martina and Julia at home. And Martina's Julia, you got a diaper for the goat? Do you have a... She's
I got diaper for goat. Goat gets diaper.
We need hole. I got suspenders for diaper for goat.
So they're trying to put this diaper on the goat. And Martina's like, how is this supposed to fit on the goat, honey?
It's like, I was not very successful at it last night with Elvis.
She's like, you can't use this on a goat.
And she goes, what is the difference between goat, dog, and pickle?
And then she puts this diaper around the goat, this new baby goat named Boris, who I have to imagine is named after Boris Becker. So I can't tell, is that a compliment because they're calling a goat Boris Becker because he's like the goat, or is it just Martina being like, fuck Boris, name him my stupid pet after him, how do you like that now, Boris? They put this diaper on, but like they don't, Julia doesn't put it around the goat's butt, so it's just basically its butt is exposed, and of course the it starts shooting out essentially Cocoa Puffs from its asshole.
I didn't know that goats poop to like those little rabbit pellets.
Neither did I. I was surprised.
Yeah, the goat did. And goats really look at you like, fuck off. Like they have this look in their eye, you know? They just look at you like, oh, suck it. You know, well, it like shoots out these little dots everywhere.
It's like, like,
sounds like Erica Jane trying to warm up.
Fuck. Commercials. Here comes one right now.
By the way, there's this thing at BravoCon for Erica Jane. I'm guessing it's part of her show, but it's called Pat the Puss, and it's at 10 in the morning. I mean, that's Bravo hates her.
Well, it's a good time to pat the puss, I imagine. Why not? Is there a bad time to pat the puss? I don't think so.
I don't know. It's just Erica's shows, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
It's like 10 in the morning. People are just dragging themselves.
My puss is like a python. You want to refill on that decaf? Okay. Who wants a cold brew? Anybody want to hear about pusses ticking like time bombs at 10 in the morning? My puss is like a pancake. Pour some syrup on it. Eat some French toast. Welcome to the Pat the Puss Buffet.
I will never, ever... ever. I will die. I will be on my deathbed and think of that lyric. My pussy's like a python, tick-ticking like a time bomb. I just love that.
It's
Watch out for that pussy! Watch out! Step away from the pussy!
It's a python that ate a time bomb. A python, which is normally associated with a penis, but it ate a time bomb and it's her pussy. You know what I love? I love a coherent metaphor.
Back away from this bank. I've just put a bomb inside a python. It's about to explode like my pussy. Here's what I did. I went spread eagle in the bank and I attracted a python into it. And the python ate a time bomb. So give me a minute. Everyone blows up.
Okay, so Martina is like, oh my God, it's just going poop. Jesus Christ, Julia. I'm hungry and you can't even make me food because you're cleaning goat poop. What are you making me? I'm hungry. I keep losing weight. I don't want to lose more weight. Feed me, Julia.
Yeah. And so they start talking about, Julia starts talking about how, you know, Martina had throat cancer and breast cancer and they beat it by going, you know, they took every day as a kid. They had one day at a time, step by step. Three's Company, Mr. Belvedere, Perfect Strangers.
I'm going to try and work that into anything. Amen. Thank God we've got family ties. I'm staying with her through.
No, I'm so glad. This was when it was revealed, when Martina's diagnosis was revealed, I was like really, upset. So I'm glad that all worked out, obviously. And so Martina, so Julia starts making a smoothie and Julia tells us, after so many years, couples sometimes lose that special touch, or as I like to call it, goat. And they forget we lost our goat. But we found him three doors down.
So then we get to the gossip and it's like, babe, Julia reached out to me. She goes,
well, that's like a nice little olive branch. I wish there was an olive branch here so I could pick an olive off of it and eat it because I'm starving to death.
My pussy's like a python.
The goat's just going off in the middle of all this.
The goat is screaming. And Martina's like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. The goat's wailing, and Martina's like, okay, goat. Like,
I think I'm going to Testy Waters with Alexia.
And she tells us, I don't hold grudges. In New York, Alexia came to me and apologized. She was really showing an effort and checking on Martina. Her actions showed me she wanted to make things right.
This goat is this goat is like real Boris Becker. Annoying and won't get out of my face. Fuck you, Boris.
Feed me before I eat your goddamn goat.
So Julia's like, when does fucking Boris, the question that I asked throughout Boris's entire career, and I ask again now, when do we put him outside? So Julia's like,
Boris will go outside after you eat your soup.
This goat is standing at the door, wailing at the top of his lungs. Martina's like, really, honey?
Yes, you eat soup. Pickle soup. You eat.
So then we go to Lisa and Jody, and she's like getting glam. And she's talking to Jody, I guess on Facebook or something. And she's, FaceTime. Could you miss? She's on Facebook.
She's like, yeah, and no, this isn't spam. No, it's me. No, I wasn't hacked. FaceTime.
And he's like, so how are you feeling, eh? And she goes, have I been deposed before? Probably, because Lenny has all these lawsuits, you know, but this time it's about me and not somebody else. And I shouldn't be nervous, but these lawyers can be assholes. And they think, you know, they ask all these asshole questions and trying to mess you up. You know what I'm saying, Jody? He's like, No, not really. I'm just going to smile and be nice for you. Huh? I'm excited for you, hon.
He's like, you know what's going to happen? He's going to ask questions that make you try to cry or like lie or something or embarrass you. And the producer's like, so if you have to go to trial, what could that mean? And she's like, we don't want to go on trial, but you know what? I'm contesting the prenup, so you never know. And she says, you're putting your life in the hands of a judge, you know, like, and how does he get to walk away living his beautiful life, having everything we built together? This thing is so unfair.
It's called a prenup. So, but I mean, Lenny's an asshole and she's right, but it's the prenup. So, then she goes to the courthouse. God, I would love to see inside a Miami courthouse. I feel like the judge, when they're like, all rise for the judge. And it's like their maracas are playing and like streamers come out and there's probably just like the lights are flashing. I just feel like Miami courthouses are just like so exciting and like lavish and fun.
I think people are just like snorting coke. I feel like the judge is like,
all right, court's in session, motherfuckers.
Just wearing like a white blazer with like a pink t-shirt. I just start playing the Miami Vice theme song.
So we see her go to court, and the lawyer, she's like, oh God, how long do I have to be here? He's like, probably all day. She goes, oh, great. So she goes in, and then we see slow motion walking, somebody in an orange dress. And then we see slow motion bartending. A lady's like, chick, 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 chick. And then we see someone else slow motion walking in a tie-dye dress. I was like, how long is this actual episode? Is this episode only two solid minutes?
Stock footage. Yeah, it's mostly stock footage. It's basically Marisol meeting up with Alexia at a beachside bar. This is one of many scenes this episode, by the way, where they film at a bar or a restaurant and clearly the establishment does not give a fuck because they refuse to turn off their music. So like, I feel like half these scenes, you hear the music playing, you hear like when they're talking, they're like at like Starbucks, like because that's like what Miami is like. There's always like a beat. And they were like, hi, we're filming a reality show. Do you mind like just turning off your music so we get clean audio? They're like, no, we're not going to do that.
So, and like, but we have to because we don't have the rights to play this music. You do. It's all royalty free. Like at this point, we just play.
And what's just funny is because there's this background music, they have to like really clip the audio like as tightly as possible so that we don't get this extra music in the background. So every time they speak, they're like, hi, how are you? Good, how are you? Good to see you.
Well, they're on a beach, and Mary's soul comes up to Alexi, and she goes, "Oh, Alexi, I'm so thirsty." We know, Mary's soul. We know, babe.
Your boobs are, your boobies are bouncing. Because Kiki comes in and she joins them. Like, your boobs, Kiki. So Marisol says, Kiki's known for popping a boob out here and there, and Alexia likes to have her out. So I just wanted to bring a fresh new Marisol just for a day and a little titty action, because I wake up in a turtleneck normally, and here I brought my... Oh my god, my prop case is gone. I was gonna bring a turtleneck out to put a show of the people, but
the summer
here
brought
right
prop
now.
Dress art that is painted on top of my breasts. It's hilarious.
So yeah, she's got little boobies painted onto her dress.
Right.
And so then they do a cheers because Alexia loves a cheers. She's Alexia. She does it like a million times just in this episode. She's like, let's make a cheers to friendship.
Wait, do it again. We'll make it more accurate. Say it again.
Let's make a cheers. Let's make a cheers.
friendship. Friendship. Let's make a cheer for friendship. Okay, I'm going to make everyone go crazy, so I'll stop doing that. So then Marisol goes, and to Cocky's poolside. And Kiki goes, and many cocks and big feet.
Marisol's like, wait, what? You want cocks? I'm getting cocks. You can never have too many cocks, especially living in Miami, right? And Lexi goes, ooh.
I mean, I'm always going to try to get different cocks. I mean, why not? I'm a strong believer in living life to the fullest. So please, let me live all the cocks, except for bald people. No bald cocks, no.
And that's the extent. Oh, no, it's not the extent of Kiki's personality. We have more. So they're like, oh, you're talking about getting cocked. Well, that's good. I mean, I guess you're dating. And Marisol's like, yeah, you were horny, right? She goes, I'm so horny, I had 6 vibrators. You need many, many at a time. One ear in my ear, one in my ear, one on my nose, one on my boobs, one on my armpits, one on my butt, one on my knees, one on my legs. Okay, I'm done. I'm done with a personality. You talk about yourselves now.
I'm just imagining Kiki at home, just like under a pile of vibrators. They're all on. She's just having a vibrator orgy. Good for her, by the way. That's a good for her moment. So Alexa's,
I think,
like,
6 vibrators just means you have a problem remembering where shit is. You know what I mean? Like, you just keep losing. It's like, I have multiple fire stick remotes because I keep losing them.
I feel like with 6 vibrators at that point, you should just go to the Sharper Image and get a massage chair. So Alexia is like, oh, well, you know what? Like, I've done like a lot of self-reflection, and I think that Todd has helped me a lot. And like Todd, like, you know, I told him like how sad and upset I was about like what happened in New York and like how the audience hates me. So I just had to change. And so I want to hold, you know, myself accountable. And I want to get all the girls together. Get this. New Horizons. Nuevo Horizontes. Is it Horizontes?
And Kiki's like, I'm so proud of you for that. I sat on a penis. What? Wait, I'm sorry. Is it my line? And Alexi's like, yeah, enough time has passed by. So I'm going to host a party for all of you. And they're like, wow. So Kiki's like, Nuevo, what? What is that, Spanish? And they're like, yes, it's Spanish. So is Adriana invited? And there's a big, long pause. And Alexia's just looking around. She's just like, no, truthfully, I'm not there with her yet. So only so, Alexia would have a New Horizons party and leave people out.
For most
only
people.
Only Alexia.
Yeah. So Alexia's like, you know, I've been willing to forgive and like kind of forget what Adriana said. But like then Adriana in New York afterwards, she went on like a press tour. And then we see all these headlines of all the shit that Adriana stirred up in the press after the reunion. It's like transphobic comments and this and that and all that stuff.
But they're not that bad. It just says, did anyone care? Wait. Oh, no. These are the clips of Adriana being like, did anyone care that my foot almost got broken into 1,000 pieces? And then Alexia is saying, it was an accident. It could have happened to anyone. And she's going, but accidents have consequences. You know, with Frankie. And then, do not bring up Frankie. And yeah, this is where I finally noticed her jacket. I said, her jacket looks like someone's holding the shoulder and she's moving away as it's being pulled off of her.
So Kiki's like, well, but it's a new horizon. I was thinking that maybe we all get one more chance. And then if they fuck up, and Marisol's like, well, spare yourself. I'm not open to it. So you can forget it. Okay. Because Adriana, she cut me to the bone. She cut right through this scandalous titty dress right to the bone. And it was a really bad situation. Instead of making it better, she came with a letter to my liver. She kept on making it worse.
This is hilarious, and it's so sad that Marisol is so lame. She has no sense of humor, okay? So first we see the clip of why she's mad, and it's Adrian going, your boyfriend hit me up, and you know what he said? I was never in love with Marisol, which, LOL. And then when she says that she wrote a letter to my liver, this was the best thing I've ever seen on Housewives, and I've seen a lot of Housewives. Then we see Andy reading it. Dear Adriana, I'm writing to tell you I'm being abused. She might kill me in the end. Sincerely, Marisol's liver.
Oh, so ben, good.
Did you leave me? Ben's gone. He's a spinning beach
Have
ball.
I gone away? I'm still here, personally. Oh, I feel it. Like I'm here. What happened?
Oh, you froze, and then I got a spinning wheel.
Oh, you know why? I was being held hostage, and I was afraid I might get killed. Signed, Marisol's liver. Marisol's liver caused this spinning wheel.
Oh, yeah? You better not come in here and mess with these hostages, or I'm going to blow up this python with a bomb and it with my pussy.
By the way, to be fair, the Erica Jane lyric, if we're going to be accurate, is my kitty's like a python. So
you're right.
Just want to say, like, I know there's some people, right. there's some purists out there that are a little upset. Marisol's like, I'm super
loyal. You can't be a purist and listen to this show, because guess what we get wrong? Literally everything. You know what's so sad is this recap alone, I'm trying to see how many pages, 21 pages. We're on page 9 of 21. It's a lot of notes that we take on this show. I still get half of it wrong.
Oh, yeah. We get everything wrong. This is not the New York Times. Okay, this is not... this is not the Wall Street Journal. This is not a established journalism source. This is the two geekballs talking on Zoom. Okay.
Hello. You have reached the end of part one of this recap. Come back later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.